Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger, eating handfuls of thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag, taking a bite out of an irresistibly bold block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. We know you want to get back to streaming, but wasn't it nice to daydream about cheese for a bit? Tillamook Cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works, cordless power tools, and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other Works tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works, cordless power tools, and lawn equipment today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether thou art a ghost that hath come from the earth, or a phantom of night that hath no hollow, or one that lieth dead in the desert, or a ghost unburied, or a demon, or a ghoul, whatever thou be until thou art removed, thou shalt find here no water to drink. Thou shalt not stretch forth thy hand to our own. Into our house enter thou not. Through our fence break through thou not. We are protected, though we may be frightened. Our life you may not steal, though we may be scared to death.
Welcome to Scared to Death, Creeps, Peepers, Roberts, and Annabelles. I'm Dan.
Hi, Dan. I'm Lindsay.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to say that our intro, Joe Paisley killed it on the intro.
I know. You know, it's so good. It still freaks me out. Mm-hmm,
I still like watching it every week, and it's been, you know, over a year now, and I'm like, ah, I like it.
I like not watching it.
I just like that it gets me in a good creepy mood.
It does. I say the. Do you say the incantation?
No. I don't say along with it.
I do.
Nice. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah. Can you
crazy.
Believe it? Fucking made it.
I know.
For better or worse, here we are.
By the time many of you hear this, it will be 2021. Recording this in 2020. Well, the episode comes out in 2020. The very tail end. Yeah, the incredibly eventful year of 2020 will be over.
Whatever that means.
Let's resolve to not have another pandemic in 2021.
Okay.
Let's all make that resolution.
Sure. I'll be sure not to start it.
Also, been a long time since we explained what this show is about. A long time, over 6 months at least. Pretty simple for new listeners.
Yeah.
You know, I find and share supposedly true paranormal tales, all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Claims of demonic possessions, oppressions, exorcisms, poltergeists, shadow people, black-eyed children, creepy cryptid encounters with monsters like skinwalkers,
mm-hmm.
terror-based folklore stories from around the world like the legend of the Bunny Man.
Right.
The 8-foot-tall woman. Po.
Stop. that one still
I know, that's
gets me.
Especially creepy for some
it
reason.
Is.
Supposed alien abductions and sightings. Anything and just about everything that can be scary and maybe also not real.
I think you covered it all.
Yeah.
I think you named every last one.
No true crime unless it happens to line up with ghosts, possessions, etc. Scared to Death is the sharing of campfire horror tales,
mm-hmm.
where you need to suspend some disbelief to get into them, enjoy being scared. These aren't stories I think for sure happened. They're stories we think maybe happened.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, if just one of them is true, like we used to say, you know, in the beginning more, the world is a lot more mysterious and perhaps more terrifying.
Yeah.
Than a lot of people want to believe.
That sounds right.
And I tell my horror tales 2 a week, typically to my wife and co-host, Lindsay.
Hi.
Try to scare the hell out of her.
Which generally you do.
And then starting just a few months into the show, she started telling me supposedly true tales of paranormal terror. A lot of T's there. Or not even T's. Paranormal. Just an odd rhythm. Paranormal terror.
My mouth just made a weird noise. Did you hear that?
I did that little squeak. The listener sent in Creeps and Peepers. And she tries to scare the hell out of me, and she has done that numerous times.
Yeah. The fan stories oftentimes mm-hmm. have a certain element to them that I can never quite put my finger on that scare me more. And I don't mm-hmm. know if it's that one degree of separation kind of feeling where it's like this person feels so real to me because they've sent me this email.
Right.
Even though I've never met them, I've never, in some instances, I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it really adds a certain level of like eek
Mm-hmm. And I love how they rounded out the show. I love how we have, you know, people who listen mostly for your stories, you know, the listener stories. People who mostly listen for the beginning. It's just, it's all.
No one's listening for the beginning.
Oh, geez.
This is going to be, in 2021, it's going to become a solo podcast.
It's just going to be Lindsay telling.
It's okay. Gonna be.
All right. Okay. I'll go hang out on
Absolutely not.
I'll go fish.
No. Can't do it alone.
No, but I love that, you know, it's become a very cool thing. And I love that we have this great community now behind it with the Facebook group, Creeps and Peepers, keeps growing. And a little bit of terminology, again, if you're new, so you don't have to, you're like, what? Why do they keep saying creeps, peepers?
Yeah, you can fast forward too if you're like, I know all this
stuff. Yeah, this will just take a second, and then we'll get to the previews and right into it. Creeps are people who can't get enough horror. People who can watch a good horror movie by themselves, alone in the basement, still sleep just fine that night. Peepers are those who do watch and listen to and or read horror, but then end up sleeping with the lights on.
That's me.
The covers pulled up over their heads.
Literally.
But they keep coming back for more. They like what also scares the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Darrens. Haven't talked about Darrens in a long while.
Oh, Darren.
Darrens are people who claim to be terrorized by something paranormal, and instead of doing anything to help themselves and get away from it, they keep just doubling down and making it worse and worse and worse. So don't be a Darren.
Don't be a Darren.
And that's scared to death.
That's it.
So if you're new, we hope you like it. And if you are not new, we hope you keep sticking around.
Yeah, please don't leave.
How many stories do you have? You said you have three?
Yeah, today? I actually have three today. I have a possible attachment of sorts.
Okay.
That was really interesting. Has a particularly like, kind of ending.
Okay.
And then a odd, very odd doppelganger story.
Oh, we haven't had one of those in a little while.
I know. And this one, it has a twist to it that I have yet to ever hear, so I'm really intrigued by it. And then the third story is, oh dear. Sleep paralysis.
Yeah, you said it was a very unusual sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I found with the stories this week is that all three of them are things that maybe we've heard before, but all have a little twist to them that make you think, okay, maybe I hadn't thought about that angle before.
Cool. Looking forward to hearing those.
Yes.
I have, as usual, two. No old-timey horror fiction, no Victorian stories this week.
No these and thous.
No. Both recent tales of encounters. The first was reported by various news outlets earlier in 2020. It went down over a few weeks, a supposedly haunted doll that really didn't want to leave a Texas family's home.
Yikes.
Shorter tale. And then no date assigned to the second story posted online. Feels pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly very haunted college dorm hall.
Oh, okay.
And I'm afraid if I give anything else away, it'll just kind of spoil it. So I won't.
Okay.
It's pretty involved.
You know that recent story we had of the woman in like the Tacoma area?
Yes.
I got an email from someone who thinks that they might work with her.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that great. I think the Atlantic wrote that big piece about it.
Muskovitz.
Muskovitz. What was your first name?
Louisa? Louise?
I can't remember. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's over in Tacoma area.
Yeah, when you said current, I immediately thought of her because that's the story.
I think
that
you're right about
cry.
Her name too. Yeah, that is the one that really got you.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to that one, I mean, obviously we think all the episodes are great, but that was a recent episode just in the past few weeks that really,
Yeah, and that was interesting to have such a contemporary exorcism and also be located near us.
Mm-hmm.
The person that's supposedly going through some kind of demonic oppression.
Yeah,
you ready for our first tale?
I'm ready. I've got my fuzzy socks on. So, today I've got like some pink. Are they penguins? Maybe.
I don't know what they are. Maybe I'll say penguins, sure.
They're very cute.
Like a rave penguin.
And also, they're pointing at my fancy candle that I'm burning this week.
Mm-hmm.
A fan who makes these candles that are like for protection or setting good intentions. You're supposed to burn it until it burns out to bring your intentions to fruition. But Candle Magic by Kelsey. Candles by Kelsey. Candle Magic.
You said Candle Magic.
Candle
earlier.
Magic by Kelsey.
Nice.
So thanks, Kelsey.
All right, so here we go. This a little bit of setup here. On Christmas of 2013, a little girl in Houston was gifted a doll. The same doll tens of thousands of other kids got that Christmas, an Elsa doll from the incredibly popular Disney animated film Frozen.
Oh, boy.
Frozen had only come out just a month before, on November 23rd, and was, as we all know now, a massive hit, spawning tons and tons of merchandise.
Really? I'd never heard of it.
We bought an Elsa doll for our daughter, Monroe. She's embarrassed by it now, but she was a huge Elsa fan.
Uh-huh.
I used to hear her singing Let It Go in her room by herself. Pretty adorable. Like so many other kids, she had lots of Frozen dolls across the country. Hundreds of thousands of Elsa and Anna dolls lined the shelves of department stores. And it's possible, based on what's been alleged, that Emily Madonia, much like little Andy's mom Karen in the 1988 doll horror movie Child's Play, picked the very worst doll of them all to give to her daughter, Aurelia. At first, all was well. Aurelia unwrapped Elsa, squealed with delight, hugged her mom and dad, and then she and her new doll were inseparable.
Uh-huh.
The doll recited phrases from the movie. It sang Let It Go when a button on his necklace was pressed, just like it was supposed to. And then it started to do things it was not supposed to do. Time now for the tale of Friend Till the End. For over 2 years, the Elsa doll spoke and sang songs in English, as was advertised. Then in 2015, the doll began alternating between English and Spanish, which the Madonias found a bit odd. First off, the doll had literally never done that before, not in 2 years of use. And much stranger, this version of the doll hadn't been advertised as a Spanish-speaking doll. The Madonia family thought that maybe there had been a mix-up at the factory. Maybe some setting just had never been accidentally changed in the first 2 years their daughter Aurelia played with a doll. Or maybe some wire had gotten knocked loose. Maybe that was why it now alternated between English and Spanish. Maybe. But Emily still didn't like it. She found the timing of it suspicious. 2 years after receiving it, when it started, Aurelia was just starting to leave Elsa and her other dolls behind for other hobbies, like playing sports. She was starting to grow up. She didn't want to play with dolls like she used to. Emily wondered if this had somehow motivated the doll to change. The doll kept speaking in Spanish and English for about another 4 years, 6 years after they bought it. It would also randomly speak and sing when no one was near it. And then one day, tired of listening to it, Emily picked up the doll to turn it off, and she got the chills when she saw that it was already turned off. And this was just last year, in 2019, when this happens. I see you're, you look concerned. So 2013.
No, I'm freaked out that she picked it up and it was off.
Yeah, so she picked it up, it was off. Possibly more concerning, when she opened the doll, she realized that almost 6 years after first bringing it home, still running on the same batteries that they put inside it before wrapping it for Christmas, thinking there was no way the batteries could last that long, she put the battery in a TV remote to test them, totally dead.
Oh no.
Now she's freaked out. She had a bilingual doll that was only supposed to speak English, a doll that spoke whether or not anyone touched the button on the necklace, a doll that spoke whether or not it was turned on, and a doll that had been speaking with no working batteries. After the battery test, Emily decided to finally toss the doll out.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason she hadn't thrown it away already was because her daughter was sentimentally attached to it. She had her husband Matt throw it in the trash. Again, that was a year ago, back in December of 2019, a few weeks later. Emily was digging through some stuff stored in the attic. She was sorting through stuff she hadn't touched in years.
Uh-uh.
And what does she find?
Uh-uh.
Elsa.
Damn it.
She heard her talking, now speaking only in Spanish. The doll was inside a wooden bench she had.
Oh my God.
Now she's really creeped out. She asks Matt, the rest of the family, if someone's pulling some sort of prank on her. Everyone denies it. Her kids swear up and down they hadn't gone to get the doll from the trash. She thought if someone had run up to the attic to hide it, that she would have heard them. She would have loved to have been able to tell herself that someone else had just bought one of the same Elsa dolls, but she claims that this doll she finds has the exact same marks on it that her daughter had given it. She'd colored next to it when she first got it and, you know, stained it with some little coloring markers. Emily and Matt throw it away again now. Emily watches this time as her husband Matt tightly wraps it up in a garbage bag, then puts that garbage inside another garbage bag. Then they throw the doll away in a trash can outside just before the garbage is collected. Buried in a bunch of other trash, Emily wheels the garbage can to the curb herself on collection day, watches it get dumped into the, you know, garbage truck and taken away. It's gone. Definitely, definitely gone. Emily and her family then travel for Christmas visiting relatives in another state. And when they come back home, they find out that Elsa has also come back home.
Motherfucker.
That night, Emily posts on Facebook, "Okay, guys, seriously, we need help." To recap, for those of you who have not been following our Elsa doll saga, Matt threw it away weeks ago, and then we found it inside a wooden bench. Okay, so we were weirded out and tightly wrapped it in its own garbage bag, put that garbage bag inside another garbage bag filled with other garbage, put it in the bottom of our garbage can underneath a bunch of other bags of garbage, wheeled it to the curb, and it was collected on garbage day. Great, right? We went out of town, forgot about it. Today, Aurelia says, Mom, I saw the Elsa doll again in the backyard.
Oh my God.
Chills, help us get rid of this haunted doll. People on Facebook, obviously skeptical. Some wonder whether it was the same doll. Maybe again, someone's pulling a prank. Emily knows it's the same doll. Again, it still has those marker stains from when her daughter colored on it, you know, years earlier. The family decides now to make one last attempt to get the doll out of their house. They mail it to a family friend in Minnesota.
Okay.
The doll is received by Chris Hogan, who shares a final update on his Facebook. Now for the rest of the story, he posts. She made it to Minnesota and is taped to the brush guard of my Jeep. If anything weird happens, I'm welding her into a steel pipe and sinking it into the lake of the woods. Now, should he really taunt it like this? Should he treat it like a joke, leave this doll taped to his brush guard, or should he burn it? Should he burn it and then put the ashes inside the steel pipe and toss that in the lake? What if he's making it angry? What if the doll returns again to the Madonias? What if Emily or her daughter wake up to hearing the sound of small footsteps?
Oh.
Or wake up to see a small Elsa-shaped shadow on the other side of the bedroom, waiting, watching, maybe getting ready to strike? Emily Madonia also posted that the doll, this is super creepy, laughed for 30 seconds straight as she was putting it in the box to mail to her friend in Minnesota.
What?
She says in over 6 years, it had never, ever made that sound before.
Oh, buddy.
She also told a reporter at KPRC, a Houston NBC affiliate, if the doll comes back, I might have to open my mind to more supernatural solutions. She said she kept trying to rationalize the whole thing as not being paranormal, but eventually couldn't do that any longer. She told a reporter, most logical thinkers believe it's a prank, but I don't understand how or when it was done, especially because the garbage truck had taken it away. After her story made the local news in Houston, after more skeptics messaged her saying that there was no way her doll could be cursed or possessed, she posted again on Facebook, either the doll is haunted or some crazy psychopath has dug the doll out of the garbage that was already taken away and broken into my house multiple times. I am going to go with the haunted thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember if it's my story. I think it's actually this week's bonus episode.
Yeah.
About, there's something about taunting spirits. About, like, you may not want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would just burn that fucking thing. I don't know what they're waiting for.
I didn't include it in the story, but she addressed why she hadn't burned it. Because apparently she got those messages. Just because, like, that fear of the unknown of, like, what if whatever is inside this thing, she lets out?
Mm-hmm.
That was her rationale for not burning it.
Okay, I would maybe try. Okay, I can wrap my head around that. I might even actually feel the same way in that moment. Because it's easy to say when it's not happening to you, like, oh, just do this, do that. Mm-hmm. But if that was one of the kids' toys from their childhood,
oh my God.
I'm thinking of, like, little Pandy that Monroe has had her whole life.
Yeah.
If something, like, it would be so hard to burn it.
Yeah.
Right? The sentimental value plus the fear of what would happen when I release it. So what I think I would do is I would take it and I would put it in some sort of container.
Yeah.
And then weight it and throw it into the bottom of the lake. Because if it comes back after that.
Well, like the one guy, like the guy in Minnesota was going to put it like in a pipe, in like a lead pipe.
If it gives him any trouble.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be waiting for the if. I would just do it.
Maybe he wants to see something.
Yeah, maybe he's a true creep.
Mm-hmm. A few pictures. This is a picture of the doll as it was allegedly found in the backyard after being thrown away the second time.
Ugh.
So they come home from their Christmas, you know, vacation, and there's the doll waiting in the yard.
It just would be so different if the doll had been, like, on the top of the garbage, and maybe the garbage person. I was going to say maybe the garbage person saw it, but honestly, I mean, I know the way our garbage is now.
Yeah, it just gets dumped in.
Yeah, it's no longer like two dudes on the back of a truck getting out and throwing things. It's just a mechanical arm.
Yep.
So that somehow makes it even creepier.
Yeah, because then it gets dumped into just a giant truck of so much other garbage. No one's going
to
go in there.
It just goes to landfill.
Here's another picture of the doll. Close up. I mean, it does look
very creepy.
A little creepier when you look at it closer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not Elsa. That's 1991's Dolly Dearest. One more picture of the actual doll.
It's a very creepy doll.
I know.
Because it's like an old lady face.
Yeah.
Not old lady, but older.
Now, this is a picture of Emily holding Elsa, just to give it, you know, some scale.
Yeah.
Just to show that little thing. Looks like a, just, you know, normal Frozen toy.
I've always thought those dolls are creepy because of their giant eyes. Remember those Bratz dolls?
I do, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, the weird proportions.
Yeah, just always freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
Monster High, all of them.
The Uncanny Valley effect, you know, they look kind of human, but not human, and it just, like, messes with our brains, which is why, you know, doll, outside of paranormal, the Uncanny Valley effect does explain why a lot of people are creeped out by dolls,
because
they're human-ish looking,
yeah.
which is just inherently kind of creepy.
Did I tell you about I don't know if we talked about it here. We were at Target getting things for the Giving Tree, and we were walking down the doll aisle, Monroe and I, because we had like a little kid that we were shopping for, you know, like infant child, right? And it butts up to the baby doll section, and there's a baby alive. And every time you walked past it, it would start crying. And so Monroe and I are here, and over here is like the electronics video game section, and there's a Target worker over there. And every time I walk by it, I'm kind of like, ugh. And he goes, I know that doll is creepy, right? And I was like, it is.
Oh, you did tell me this.
Yes. And so I was saying, I'm like, it's so weird. Is that doll like motion sensitive? And he's like, it's not supposed to be. I'm like, well, it certainly fucking is. Like, I'm losing it in Target. And he goes, yeah, you should be here at night when we turn off all the lights and we're leaving. And then you hear that doll laughing.
Weird.
And I was like, oh, buddy. I'm like, you need to take that off the shelf and burn it. And he was so funny. He says, I'm going to write that up as a customer request. Because he was so freaked out. I mean, his eyes were like out of his head, because clearly he is by that doll, like just across from it all day. Yeah. And he said it would just go off randomly.
Funny.
Which could be faulty batteries. It could be, you know, when you get those kinds of toys, they have that little like plastic tab to take it out of store mode or test mode. But could you imagine being in Target, a giant big box store? It's dark. The lights are off. And then you just hear, change my diaper or whatever the stupid things are.
right.
Like little like baby giggle.
I forgot to tell you, but I've been driving this little rental. I don't even remember what it's called. Is it a Ford Escape?
Ford Escape.
Yeah, this little Ford Escape. While my truck is in the shop indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
And, you know, in the back, we have all those Safe Passage toys.
Oh, yeah.
And that we got to give for these, you know, kids in need. And every time I go over like a speed bump when I go to get coffee, in the back, there's just chorus of like, just like weird little whatever the, I don't even know what kind of dolls they are, but they're talking back there.
I would love it if I take those things. Actually, I have to take them today. Yeah. And then nothing's back there.
Oh my God. And then you find out that none of the dolls talk.
Or that you still hear it like weeks later.
Oh, that's not fun. Yeah. Yeek. Okay, so another haunted doll tale. yeah, got a little bit of recent media coverage, which is cool. Not sure what to put this next one in.
This is another haunted doll?
No, I'm sorry. Just referring to this last one. So we just, told another haunted doll. Not sure which category to put this next story in. Definitely gave me the chills, though, when I was working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like this next story a lot. Are you ready to hear it?
I am. Bring it.
Okay, great. Real quick, before I tell it, sponsor time.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Summer is just around the corner. Who's excited? I know I am. With the warmer, sunnier days calling your name, the last place you're going to want to be is in your kitchen, cooking and meal prepping. Make your life easier with Factor's no prep, no mess meals.
Factor's never frozen, always fresh meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Think of all the extra time you will get outside in the summer sun when you aren't wasting hours in the kitchen.
I think I speak for everyone when I say that the summer is the busiest time of the year. We are all trying to cram in as many things as possible, from concerts to vacations and everything in between. With Kyler home from college and Monroe on her break too, I want to spend as much time as possible with them. And while I truly love to cook, the summer is the one time of year that I'm the least interested in doing that for 3 meals a day. So I lean on Factor to help keep me healthy and in step with my diet. I'm obsessed with the honey yogurt pancakes for breakfast, the pork al pastor for lunch, and the cilantro lime barramundi for dinner. So easy and saves me so much time.
Head to factormeals.com/scaredtodeath50 and use code scaredtodeath50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That's code scaredtodeath50 at factormeals.com/scaredtodeath50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime.
You don't have to hide how you feel.
Thanks for listening to our sponsors, Creeps and Peepers. We appreciate it so much. The more you take advantage of their deals, the longer we can stay sponsored.
Yes.
All right, let's head back to college. Not really much setup for this one, so I'm just going to jump right in.
Go for it.
Time now for the tale of the screaming hallway. It was exactly the kind of getting-to-know-you exercise that Cooper hated. In his dorm hall, his RA sat on a couch while his new hallmates, about 15 guys and girls, sat on the floor in a circle. One by one, they had to go around and say their names, where they were from, what they planned on studying, a fun fact about themselves, all the kinds of information that Cooper had recycled since he'd gotten shown up and began his college life the previous day, excited to start his freshman year. But before he could, he had to go through the same boring orientation with everyone else. Maybe he thought, as his hallmates gave their names and facts, he was just grumpy because he didn't have something cool to say. Cooper was from the suburbs, lived nearby, didn't know what he was studying, didn't think he had any interesting facts. When it got to him, he said, "I'm Cooper. I'm from about 20 minutes away. I don't know what I'm majoring in. And a fun fact about me, I've never been out of the country a single time." It was objectively a lame introduction to the rest of the group. Looking at the bored faces around him, he knew that. But at least he'd gotten it over with, and now the girl next to him was speaking. "I'm Michaela," she said. "I'm from around here, too. I'm pre-med, and my fun fact is that I was supposed to start last year, but I had to take a year off." "Why?" asked Cooper's new roommate, Alex. Alex was the kind of person who seemed to say whatever was on his mind with no regard to whether or not it was the right time or place to say it. Cooper didn't really know him well, but he seemed a bit off socially. He was supposedly super intelligent academically, an engineering major who came to college with 2 years worth of credits he'd earned in high school, and Cooper had seen him move 3 computer monitors into their room the day before, but Alex didn't seem super socially intelligent, not someone he saw as having gotten out much. "Kind of a long story," Michaela said, "but my roommate passed away at the beginning of the year." Everyone looked at her, surprised.
"Ooh.
Your roommate, like, here? At this school?" Zoe, a girl snapping bubblegum, asked. "Actually, we lived on the floor right above this one," Michaela said. "Okay, maybe that's enough fun facts for now," their RA, a guy named Patrick, said. "Why don't we all head to bed for the night and start on a scavenger hunt across campus bright and early tomorrow?" Cooper went back to his bedroom while Alex lingered in the hall. Alex didn't want to go to bed because it was barely 9 p.m., so instead of going to sleep, he got on his phone. Oh, I'm sorry, Cooper didn't want to go to bed because it was barely 9 a.m., so he got on his phone and started scrolling. He got so lost in his videos that he didn't even notice at first when Alex came back into their room. It was about 2 hours later. "Where have you been?" Cooper asked. It seemed impossible from the looks of him that Alex would be making fast friends with Michaela, but maybe there was more to him than he thought. Maybe he hadn't given him enough social credit. "I wanted to hear more about Michaela's thing," Alex said. Behind his glasses, he seemed to have kind of a dazed look in his eyes. Maybe Cooper was just imagining it, though, he thought. Alex had just traveled back from somewhere abroad. Maybe the time change was hitting him with some jet lag. "Anything interesting?" Cooper asked. "Sort of," Alex said. He sat in his desk chair and rubbed his face. "Michaela told me there's a particular hall upstairs that people around here call the Screaming Hall. Last year, she and her roommate lived right next to it. She said that people hear screams there at night sometimes and disembodied voices calling out, or they claim to. Michaela's deaf in one ear, so it never really bothered her," she said. "But her roommate was freaked out by it. Over the first few days of term, she stopped sleeping entirely. And then she, you know..." Alex frowned, shaking his head. "That's really sad," Cooper said. "Yeah." Alex still had that strange, mystified look on his face. Cooper ignored it. It was finally around 11, a reasonable enough time to go to bed, so he started getting ready. They'd agreed that Alex would have the top bunk, Cooper would take the bottom bunk. When they settled in that night, Cooper closed his eyes, tried to sleep, but a few minutes after they turned out the lights, he heard a sound. It was like a squeaking or a quiet groaning. The bed was shaking a little, and Cooper could hear part of Alex's body, his hand or his foot, tapping against the wall. Tap, 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 tap. Was he actually? No, that was disgusting. No roommate would do that to anyone, especially not on their first night together, would they? Now, it didn't sound like, you know, that. Then Cooper heard something else. Muffled wails? Is that what he was hearing? Or did he just think he was? Sounded like maybe Alex was having a bad dream. But they'd just only gone to bed. Who fell asleep that fast? Cooper shoved in some earplugs, tried to get to sleep. Over the next few weeks, this would happen again, off, on and off. Every couple of nights, he'd wake up to hear Alex having some kind of dream, he hoped. Once he tried to ask Alex about it, but Alex just stared at him like he wasn't speaking English. Eventually he said, "I don't have weird dreams. I don't even remember my dreams." Cooper chalked up the strange noises he heard and his anxiety over them to the stress of starting off in college. A few weeks later, Cooper was in the library when his phone started ringing. It was around 1 in the morning, and glancing at the screen, Cooper saw that it was an unknown number. He wondered if it was someone he'd given his number to for some group project or something. Avoiding the irritated looks of the other people studying, he ducked into the lobby and answered it. Ragged panting came over the speaker. Then, to his surprise, he heard Alex's voice.
"I'm scared," Alex whimpered. Can you come back?"
"Scared of what? What's going on?"
"Nothing. I don't know," Alex gasped. "It's just so dark. Please come back."
"Go wait in the hallway," Cooper said. I'll be there soon. Please come back," Alex muttered. "It's so dark. Please come back." And abruptly, the phone call ended. Cooper frowned at the blank screen. This was so strange. He'd hardly spoken to Alex in the last few weeks. And he knew that he had Alex's number saved because he'd done it on the first day in case either of themselves got locked out of their room. So why hadn't the number shown up as being from him? Cooper walked quietly back to their dorm, not even stopping at the convenience store, even though he'd missed dining hall hours while he'd been studying. He still didn't know Alex well, but if the guy was having some kind of mental breakdown, he wanted to be there for his roommate. When he got to his floor, Alex wasn't in the hall. Then, just before he entered his room, he ran into Michaela. "Hey," Cooper said, "have you seen Alex recently?" She shook her head. "No. Now, I've been in the lounge for the last couple of hours, too. If you left your room or came back, I would have seen him."
"Okay, weird," Cooper said, heading for their room.
"Everything okay?" Michaela asked. Cooper ignored her. His mind was reeling. What was going on? He tried to punch in his key code to the dorm room, but the light kept flashing red instead of green and wouldn't let him in. "Alex," he called. "Alex, are you in there?" No response. He tried the code again. Red. "Alex! Alex!" Cooper was screaming now. Finally, the code lock flashed green and the door swung open. Alex was sitting at his desk with his headphones in. "Alex!" At Cooper's last shout, Alex finally took his headphones off, stared at Cooper and Michaela. "Did you just call me?" Cooper demanded. "Like 10 minutes ago?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess I did," Alex said, looking from Cooper and then to Michaela strangely.
This was all so weird. He'd sounded so freaked out just 10 minutes earlier, on the verge of a breakdown. Now he's acting like he'd already forgotten he called. He seems totally fine. And why is he looking like that at Michaela?
"Sorry about that," he added. I just got kind of freaked out here alone. I was listening to some music to try and calm down is all."
Cooper was relieved, kind of. Maybe he was right about Alex at first. Maybe this guy was just super awkward. But that explanation didn't feel totally right. After a few minutes, Michaela said she was going to bed, and Cooper and Alex quietly played a video game for about an hour or so before they too went to bed. Both of them were exhausted, but Cooper stayed awake until he heard Alex's breathing change from light and fast to deep and heavy. Cooper couldn't sleep. He tossed and turned, fading just a little into sleep before he was then yanked back to consciousness. Around 4:30 in the morning, he heard a sound. Tap, tap, tap. It was that fucking tapping again. Sounded like maybe Alex's foot was repeatedly hitting the wall. But then as Cooper listened, the tapping grew louder. The bed frame was shaking now. If Alex was shaking in his sleep and hitting the wall with his foot, he was surely hitting it hard enough to wake himself up. Cooper sat up in bed. That's when he heard Alex's voice, clear as day, ask, "Do you want to go to the screaming hallway?" "What?" Cooper replied. He figured that if Alex was sleep talking, he wouldn't reply with anything intelligible to Cooper's question. But then he heard Alex say, "You heard me." "No, I don't want to go to the stupid screaming hallway," Cooper said, resisting the urge to groan into his pillow. It was only after he said that he realized that he heard the voice and the sound of Alex snoring simultaneously.
Shit.
And then, holy shit, Cooper thought he saw something. Movement. He thought he saw something in the room with them. His eyes flew open. He looked all around his bed. It looked normal. Maybe it had been a trick of his hearing, hopefully. His periphery of his vision? No, he saw it again. This time he got a better look. A blurry black figure climbing down from Alex's bed. Cooper watched with wide eyes as his brain screamed, holy shit, what the fuck is happening? The figure slunk to the other side of the room and then melted through the wall.
Oh.
Something had been in there with them, something on Alex. Cooper jumped to his feet, wrenched the door open, peering down the hall. Nothing. The figure was gone. "Cooper," Alex's groggy voice came from the bed behind him. "What's going on?" "What did she do to you?" Cooper demanded, looking wildly around the room. It was such a small dorm room, it would have been impossible to hide anything in it. But he went to the other side of the room anyway, resisting the urge to pull open the drawers and rip down the curtains. "What did she do to you, Alex?"
"What did who do to me?"
"Michaela," he said. "What did she do?"
What did I do when? A voice came from their doorway.
Oh, boy.
It was Michaela. I heard you guys talking and wanted to see if everything was okay. But if I'm not wanted... I know you told him about the screaming hallway, Cooper said. Had Michaela really just been awake and down the hall? Had she already been next to their room? What was going on? Michaela frowned. Yeah, I told him a dumb story about a college superstition. What's wrong with that? I know you did something to him, Cooper said. When you talked to him that first night, he hasn't been right since. How do you know that? Michaela said. You didn't even know him before. You don't know anything about him. I just know, Cooper insisted, and he did. Something was going on between Michaela and Alex. He didn't know exactly what it was, but he just knew, and he knew it was bad. It just clicked in his head that night that she was behind all this weirdness somehow. She looked at him deadly serious. With a small smile, she said, sounds like someone needs to visit the screaming hallway. And then she burst into laughter. Behind Cooper, Alex giggled. What? Said Cooper. What the fuck? Why would you say that? How is that funny? Michaela rolled her eyes. Calm down. It was a joke. She looked at them both, flat and unamused. I gotta go finish some homework. Bye. Cooper couldn't concentrate the next day. His reading assignments for class looked like gibberish, and it wasn't from lack of sleep. His brain kept coming up with questions and providing zero answers. What was the screaming hallway? What was Michaela's creepy connection to it? And what was that thing he saw climb down from Alex's bed? He needed to get to the bottom of all this. Standing up in the middle of a lecture, he left amid curious looks and Googled the name of his college plus the words paranormal encounters. It turned up a few forums in which people had claimed to go ghost hunting. One particular account caught his eye. I know why they call it the screaming hallway, the post read. It used to be a tradition back in the day that people would get together in that hallway to let loose a little tension before exam season. They would all meet together in this hallway and just scream, let it all out. As it got to be more well-known, more and more people would go there just randomly or by themselves to scream, often at night. It became more of a prank than any type of stress reliever after a while. One year, people heard a young woman screaming, and everyone figured it was just another person trying to let off a little steam. She screamed and screamed. None of the people living nearby came out of their rooms to help. When they left their rooms the following morning, they found the young woman disemboweled practically, laying on the hallway floor. No one was ever caught for killing her. After that, some ghost hunter types claimed that dark forces dwelled in the screaming hallway. And then all kinds of people started hearing things and seeing things. I read someone's post who said they won't bother you if you make a pact with them. Those who refuse to make a pact, well, I guess I don't have to tell you what happens to them. But honestly, I think the people who do make the pact with them have it worse. Supposedly, if you make it, you have to kill someone else and contribute to the screaming hallway if you don't want to die. Cooper felt a chill run down his spine. What the fuck? He would have normally thought this whole thing was stupid nonsense. Just ridiculous folklore, people telling crazy stories to feel cool. But he'd seen that damn shadow. He'd seen it clearly. And he'd been hearing these muffled wails and the tapping. He knew it wasn't just all dreams or his imagination. And he knew it all connected to Alex and Michaela somehow. He thought about Alex's strange phone call. When he'd sounded so scared, he thought about his connection to Michaela and about what had happened to her first roommate the year before. Suddenly, he was worried about Alex. He felt like he was in danger. That shadow, was it the thing rocking their bed? What it had been doing to Alex? He had to get back, had to save Alex from whatever it was that had a hold on him. When he made it back to his dorm, standing just outside of the building, looking up at the floor above his, he swore he saw a dark shape move between windows. Even though the windows belonged to rooms separated by thick walls. It was a thing from his room that night. He knew that's what he had just seen. He went in, pressing the button for the elevator with a shaking hand. The numbers blinked as he went up, second floor, third floor. As soon as the door slid open, he felt an overwhelming sensation come over him. He felt as if he had no control over his body. Was he shaking? Something was rattling. Then he looked down the hall and saw Alex and Michaela standing in the middle of the hallway. Incredibly, the dark figure he'd seen moments earlier now lurked behind them.
Oh, man.
You made it, Michaela said. We knew you would. What the fuck is that? Cooper demanded. Michaela grinned and then said something that chilled Cooper to his core. That's my roommate.
Oh, God.
Then the lights flickered and went out.
Oh, God.
Cooper heard the screaming before he realized he was screaming, too. It was so loud, slamming against his eardrums. He had to get out of there. He turned and started to run, then felt like he slammed into a wall. When he stuck his fingers out to feel it, the wall wasn't there. Where the hell was he? Was Alex trying to give him to that dark entity? Was Michaela trying to give Alex to it? Where did this all end? He fumbled at a door, praying that it was the staircase, wrenched it open. He could hear Michaela's screaming laughter behind him and Alex's giggle. They were gaining on him.
Go, 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 go.
He wrenched the door open, grateful for the light that spilled out across the floor before, bam, the door slammed onto his hand. He cried out in pain and then heard Michaela behind him. Go on, Cooper, scream, let it all out. Fuck you, Michaela, he groaned, throwing himself into the staircase. The pain in his hand stung, but adrenaline was flooding through his body as he scrambled down the stairs. When he burst outside into the quad, he was surprised to see that it was still sunny, the middle of the day. He'd made it away from them. But what about Alex? Even though Alex was with Michaela and had just helped her chase him, he was still worried about him.
Mm-mm.
Alex was still with that thing. Cooper scrambled for his phone. Should he call 911? What the hell was he going to say to them? Should he call his dad to come pick him up? What do you do in a situation like this? Before he could make a decision, something from an upstairs window caught his eye. It was Alex. Oh, shit. He was standing in front of the window. He crawled out onto the ledge.
No!
And then he fell. As he heard a few other students scream as he watched some of them run towards Alex's not moving body, he glanced back up at the window he'd fallen from. Michaela. Michaela grinning, now moving away from the window, the shadow with her. Cooper called his dad. He needed to get away from campus. He needed to get away from all of this right now. The next day, the story of Alex's untimely death ran in the newspaper. And then he got an email that there was a mandatory assembly about suicide prevention and mental health for all students. Cooper didn't go, for obvious reasons. He got permission from his professors to take a week off and stay home. A few days later, he was eating a bowl of cereal at the kitchen counter when his phone rang.
No.
Another unknown number. He picked it up. Hello? You don't have to leave, you know. It was impossibly Alex's voice. This time he didn't sound scared. He sounded strangely happy. Cooper felt like he was going to pass out. He felt dizzy. This was impossible. But impossible or not, Alex kept speaking. You gave them me. Michaela already gave them her roommate. I didn't give anyone to anything. I'm never coming back to that place, Cooper spat. Please come back. Alex's voice now turned into a growl. It hardly sounded like Alex's voice at all. Please come back. Come back. Come back, Cooper. You don't have to leave. You gave them me. Cooper hung up the phone with trembling hands. How could he ever go back now? He was going to have to transfer. That's exactly what he did. He never went back to that campus, let alone his old dorm. His dad swung through and grabbed his things, and he's been haunted by what happened to him ever since. Sometimes he wakes up in the middle of the night to the sound of tap, 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 tap. And every so often, while he never called again, he still wakes up to the sound of Alex's voice. Come back, Cooper. You gave them me. The end.
Yeah. I knew Michaela was the trouble.
Yeek.
I was suspicious of her from the get-go. Oh, just something about her.
Yeah, that was an interesting story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just felt different than I think. It doesn't remind me of any of the stories we've told before.
I was thinking that Michaela and Alex were working together to kill mm-hmm. Cooper. I was not expecting Alex to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pictures associated with this, you know, anonymous posting.
Okay.
But looking for images for Screaming Hallway led to images of women screaming.
Weird.
Which led to pulp horror pinup art, which led to this picture. I just thought it would look cool. Like an old horror, you know, like a pulp fiction kind of cover.
Yeah.
Like an old pulp novel cover.
No pinup element, but...
Yeah, I guess, I mean, just a little bit, her figure. I mean, it's from that era. I guess she's not wearing, you know, traditional pinup clothes, but she's wearing like...
Well, there's nothing... I don't find this photo to be sexy.
Yeah.
The skeleton's arm is pinning her up.
He's going for a little butt action.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. The skeleton's, yeah, holding her up there.
He's like, here you go. Here's a gift.
And then this next one, just looking again for something that related to this, I just found a gif of a woman in a hallway that reminded me of this story.
Okay.
So, yeah, this very shadowy thing coming out of the floor there.
Oh, yeah.
I just pictured like them looking, like Cooper looking down the hallway and seeing Michaela and Alex standing there and some little figure like that behind them.
I mean, when you really think about dorms, they are inherently kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was thinking about that doing this story where, you know, like I had a random roommate my first freshman
right.
year. My first freshman year.
Did you have more than one freshman year?
I had several freshman years. No.
Explains a lot.
My freshman year in college. And just that premise is odd mm-hmm. where you
two
are
random fucking strangers.
And sharing like a bunk bed with a complete stranger.
Yep. When I went to college, because I went to like a private liberal arts school, mm-hmm. they didn't have on-campus housing.
Okay.
So the student housing were apartment complexes, like that the school had made contractual deals with these apartment complexes.
Yeah.
So there, in my apartment, there were three of us. And it's like, this is so weird. Like, so one person paid more to have a single. And then, you know, my roommate and I, Kat, we shared a room. It's like, we're each like in a single bed, sleeping side by side, sharing a bathroom. Uh-huh. Like, it is so bizarre.
I went to an old school dorm or stayed in an old school dorm, Gonzaga, when I went. Everything's been upgraded in the years since.
Yeah.
But when I went, it was just a tiny room, no bathroom. I don't even think we had a sink in our room.
Probably not. Most dorms don't.
Yeah. And it was, and my roommate was an ESL student.
Oh, right.
Who was kind of early in his ESL journey. So he's from Japan, barely spoke English. So I'm just like sleeping directly above a dude I don't know who barely speaks the same language.
How drunk were you? Like, did you terrorize him? I feel like you probably did.
He bought us beer. He ended up being older 20. He spoke enough English. He was a Sugi. Sugi was nice dude. He was gone a lot.
No, Sugi.
I
just can't imagine you being a good roommate because I know the post dorm roommate stories of the shit that you and your friends did.
No, I was not great.
Yeah,
and then I just had too many. I had people over all the time, and I was drunk a lot.
Sounds right.
So I'm sure that was not ideal for him. But then the bathroom situation and showers was like communal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a public
bathroom almost.
Right.
You walk down there with your caddy and your flip flops, and it's like good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I do think though, just thinking about it, I mean, college is such an interesting social experiment, if you will. I actually think dorm living is so good.
Because, it forces you to have to, you know?
Yeah, you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to overcome some things. You know, like if you're embarrassed about your body, it's like you have to deal with that, right? And that, you know, for better or worse. I mean, I'm sure that there's a negative to it about, you know, creating more issues over issues you might already have. But like, you know, everybody's got a body. It's okay.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm so comfortable with bodies. So
I wasn't at first, but I got way more comfortable as time went on there. Like, I remember it took me a while, but I got used to just like being naked around this other dude, masturbating and not caring, you know, like he was there.
I knew that's where you were going immediately.
I was trying to set it up better.
I was trying to let it go so that the audience could enjoy it, but I already knew what was happening.
You already knew that I was going to talk about doing something ridiculous?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I do. And then I think too, like about living with a random roommate is that if you have weird quirks or tics.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, hopefully they're going to call you out on it. Yes. Yeah.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I know for sure I got called out. It was like, why do you do that? It was like, oh, sorry. I didn't know I was doing that. You know?
I don't know. I should have gotten called out more than I did. I was.
I can call you out now if you want.
I was a psychopath. My following year was that's a whole. I don't want to derail this episode, but yeah, my sophomore year, it's just like how was I not expelled?
Oh boy,
they considered it, but they should have. Looking back, I should have definitely been tossed out of college.
Well, you know, another day, another story.
Right.
My God. Well, now at least like when our kids go to college, if we get any weird phone calls from the dean of like, hey, it won't be about Kyler, it'll be about Monroe.
Yeah, and who knows?
Please, who knows? Kyler loves rules.
I know.
That boy loves rules.
I know. I like it.
I don't. I wish he'd break him a little bit. That kid won't even jaywalk.
he can loosen up a little bit.
He gets so mad at me.
I just don't want him to become who I was.
Well,
he might not get as lucky.
I think he's going to be okay. I think Monroe's also going to be okay because they have me.
Fair.
Okay, who are you squishing on this week?
Layla.
Oh man, I got a message on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, I hope Dan is still calling you Skull Squeezy.
Skull Squeezy.
Do you remember that way early on?
Oh, yeah.
It's like we were something like
Skull Squeezy dried out.
It was like my rap name or something.
Oh, I was calling you that. Yeah, but I remember the little skull guy. He's behind you. Yeah, he kind of dried out. He's not squishy.
Oh, eek. Okay, well, are you ready to hear about possibly bringing something home with you?
Yeah.
What do you think, like, about that? Do you think that if you go somewhere and there's negative energy, you can bring that home with you? Like, do you think you can bring an attachment home with you?
I mean, there's lots of stories about it. So if in my less skeptical moments, sure, if I'm going to be open to, like, you know, haunted places and possessions, it feels like it fits in that wheelhouse. And again, there are so many
that's a terrifying thing to think about, that you mm-hmm. just bring something with you. But I mean, lots of stories.
I think about the fact that after I interact with someone, mm-hmm. like, I mean, you and I joke that I'm so spongy.
Yeah.
That I you know.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
I totally pull on other people's energy. So like,
right.
when I would hang out with Dina Bobina, I would come home and I would be on fire because her mm-hmm. and I are so sassy together.
Yeah, you'd be extra sassy, pepped up.
Right. And I would come home with that. But if you're, you know, so I just.
Right. And then like, if you're hanging out with me, you're like a really good person and like, you know, and just a bright light in a dark world, you know.
Are you talking about someone else? but yeah, so I mean, if energy, so to speak, can be absorbed yeah. and redistributed, I don't see why you can't bring something else
right.
home with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let's find out what happens to Christian and his family.
Okay.
Hey, Lindsay and Dan, my name is Christian, and I'd like to start off by saying I've been listening to Dan's comedy, Prepare to Feel Old, since I was 13.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now I have grandkids.
And I came over to Time Suck about a year ago and fell completely in love. I really enjoy the content that's the two awesome. Of you are putting out with Scared to Death. Now on to the story. My family is from Southeast Oklahoma, and being the creeps that we are, we obviously have our own ghost hunting team we refer to as SLAPs, and it consists cool. of my mom, stepdad, two uncles, and myself. Excuse me. At the time of this story, I was just about 12. We were out really late, joking around in some cemetery after hours. It was an Indian and war veteran cemetery in a small town called Crowder Point. To get to it, you had to walk a quarter of a mile through thick woods, already making the journey a little bit spooky. We were running a flashlight test. We had our EMF reader, a camera or two, a digital recorder, and a couple other little things.
Cool.
We weren't really picking anything up, so we were getting ready to leave when out of nowhere, we were overwhelmed with the strong smell of cigarette smoke. We are panning the flashlight around, and near the edge of the property, there is an outline of a man wearing a hat, smoking a cigarette. At the time, we just figured it was the caretaker waiting for us to realize he was there before he jumped our asses. Being normal, rational humans that we are, we all scattered, running in different directions. We finally made it back to the truck, out of breath and terrified. We hopped in, laughing about the turn of events, and sped off. Over the next couple of weeks, there were odd goings-on in our house. It started with footsteps. It sounded like there was definitely someone stomping through the house. Because my sister and I were only kids, we would crawl into her top bunk and stay up all night. Shortly after this is when my younger sister started mentioning the man, who she described as tall, featureless, with a black hat and smoking cigarettes. I never really paid it any attention, but looking back, this is creepy because she wasn't with us at the cemetery to see that man that night. The footsteps and mentioning of the man continued on for weeks. Flash forward to a few more weeks later, we were all out at a local flower shop in town when my younger sister grabbed my arm and stared into the depths of my soul and said, "The man is about to do something bad." I remember my stomach getting sick immediately and telling my mom we needed to go home. When we arrived, we found smoke spilling from our house. The fire was put out, and we all got a call 2 days later about what had caused it. A cigarette had been dropped into a flower pot on our front porch. It melted down the pot and eventually caught the house on fire.
Damn.
We didn't make the connection until a few months later when we had settled back into the house. It was normal at first. My sister had stopped mentioning the man, and there were no footsteps. Until late one night, I heard my little sister talking. I wiped the sleep out of my eyes and flipped over, seeing her standing in front of our closet. She was talking as if she was speaking to a friend, but it was so low, I couldn't make out exactly what she was saying. I asked her who she was talking to, and she responded, "The man." This is the first time I remember experiencing genuine fear. I remember yelling something to the extent of, "In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, leave this house." Shortly after, we moved out, leaving the man behind. I'd like to clarify that my mom told us all about her experiences in the house. Our parents had consistently tried to convince us it was all in our heads, when all along they also were having experiences. Christian.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I was just flashing back in like my childhood, like if I would have seen my little sister Donna, just
oh
like
my God.
Who was kind of like a scaredy cat too.
Yes.
And if I'd have seen her in like the middle of the night standing in front of her closet, speak out, oh, that would have freaked me out.
Oh my God. I'm more
and
freaked out.
Smoking.
That's what freaks me out. So you're at a cemetery mm-hmm. and Christian doesn't mention it, but I get the feeling that no one is a smoker.
Correct. Because otherwise they'd just be smelling all the time. Yeah, like, I assume
you know what
thing.
I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like to come home to your house on fire.
Yeah.
And then to find out that it was from a cigarette butt.
And after the thing in the cemetery and that and then what his sister said about the smoking man. I mean, that's a very troubling sequence.
Right. I mean, very, very unlikely to just be coincidental, in my opinion.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that one creeped me. That one definitely gave me the chills.
Okay, well, good. We're going to go into one of your favorite topics ever. Doppelganger.
I'm fascinated by this stuff.
Okay, so this one, I don't want to give anything away,
okay.
but I will just say that we're going to visit our friends up north, and this story of it's a doppelganger for sure, in my opinion, but it has such a weird, spoopy element to it.
Okay.
It's a very interesting little quality here. Okay, so here we go. Hello, King and Queen of the Suck, Joe H.C. Paisley. And the script keeper.
Yeah.
My name is Zach, and I've been listening to Time Suck almost since day one, and I'm now binging all of Scared to Death, and I'm loving it. My commute is almost exactly the same length of an episode of the show, and when I get to work, I'm the one who turns on all the lights. Mm-hmm. This has become so much spookier since I've been listening to these creepy stories before entering a pitch-black building before sunrise. Anyways, I have one short story of my own paranormal experience for you. I hope this is not too long, and I hope it's appropriately unsettling for you to read. I gave it a cheesy horror title for fun. My Second Sister. Years ago, when I was about 11 years old, my family lived in a house in a small Alberta town. The house was entirely fine and nothing unusual happened until our last year of living there when I started to see my sister in more than one place at a time. I have a sister who's 6 years younger than me, so at this time she was just a little kid, even more so than I was, with an earlier bedtime and a very predictable schedule. I mention this because when I started to see her sitting in corners and wandering the halls after bedtime, it was extremely unusual and more than a little alarming. Both of my parents worked, so it was not unusual for the kids to be home alone. As the oldest, I took on a bit of a caregiver role and tried to be as attentive as possible to my little brother and sister and to make sure that things were okay for them. So the first time I saw my little sister seemingly crying in a doorway with her face in her hands, I naturally approached her, asking if she was okay. She gave me no reply and just angled herself away from me. I asked her again if she was all right and reached out an arm in her direction to try and calm her down from whatever was going on. As I reached out, I heard her call my name from another room to ask if I could help her with a blanket fort that she and my brother were building. Whatever I was reaching out for was not my sister.
Oh, man.
When I turned back to it, it had turned to face me and it looked wrong. Like something had tried to draw my sister from memory, only having seen her a few times. Some details were just too big on her face. The spacing was imperfect, and her eye color was wrong, but then it just disappeared. But this was far from the last time I would see this thing. I would normally see it commonly sitting in corners, with its face obscured. Not like the Blair Witch style, standing in a corner mm-hmm. facing away, but more like sitting with its back against the door frames when the doors were open, or against the outer corners of a room if doors were closed. I hope that description makes sense because everywhere it leaned against would be uncomfortable for most people to lean on, as there was always a pointed corner or a sharp edge in its back. While it was sitting, its face was always covered either by its hands, hair, or just from the angle. I asked my parents if they had seen it, and they told me that I had an overactive imagination, which could very well have been true, but it seemed like this thing was always appearing somewhere or other. It never took on other people's shapes, but it would frequently get the details wrong. It would be wearing clothes my sister had outgrown, or have a length of hair she had recently gotten cut, almost like it was weeks or years out of date with who it was trying to emulate. As the year progressed, I started seeing it moving. It would still be mostly sitting, but I would occasionally catch it walking down the hall or standing near the kitchen table. It would never appear if my sister was in the same room, and rarely if my brother or parents were in the room, though it would vanish much faster if anyone but me was around. When we moved out, it did not follow. We were friends with the people who bought the house from us, and I babysat their kids occasionally throughout my high school years, and I would occasionally see it then. But it was shaped like a young toddler girl, like the girl I was babysitting. Again, with some mistaken details, it moved like an adult, coordinated and steady, and spent much more time looking at me and at the other kids before vanishing again, always hiding its face. I never felt in danger from this thing, but it freaked me out.
Yeah.
For years after, I would hesitate walking anywhere alone at night in the house just for fear of running into this thing. I have since moved to a different city and have only told a few people about this, not even my brother, since he did not believe me when I mentioned it when we were younger. But I needed to share this story with someone because I feel that twinge of fear when I hear footsteps in my house or see movements in the corner of my eye. I have no idea if my brother has since thought about this, but I know he listens to the podcast. Hey, Gabe, keep an eye out for misshapen clones of our sister or whatever that thing was. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I hope it was creepy enough to make it on the show. And thanks again for making my boring work days so much spookier. Zach.
Zach, man, thank you.
Like a shape-shifting doppelganger. How weird is that, that it like takes on the shape of his sister, they move out, and then it takes on the shape of the new little girl in the house. What the fuck?
Right.
I was so freaked out by this. I never considered that as a possibility. I just always thought that like a ghost would be a ghost. Or whatever it is.
Because that story like reminds me that, I mean, if we're gonna open up ourselves to the possibility of like one type of spirit entity that can't be proven, then you're opening up the possibility of an unlimited variety of things that could be out there.
True.
And this could just be a completely different entity type thing. And it reminds me, I was trying to think of it. There was a show on Netflix I was watching for a while.
The Haunted Hill or something?
No, it was just called like Haunted, maybe just Haunted.
I don't know.
I can't remember, but it was a really cool show where they would blend, I mean, similar kind of to what we do here, but it would be like a dramatic reenactment. So they'd have, you know, somebody or a group of people telling the story, kind of like the My Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then those stories would be reenacted. Actually, a producer reached out to us early on. To put them in contact with some of our listeners.
Yeah, because, I remember.
Yeah.
I think it is just Haunted.
I think, and there was one episode that freaked me out more than the others, and it was very similar to this, where there was something in the house. I think they called it the Mimic.
And that just gave me the chills all over.
And it would just mimic, it was more auditory, but it's like, you know, they would hear distinctly, with several roommates living in this house, and they would hear distinctly somebody, one of the other roommates talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
They'd go into that room, nothing would be there.
God.
And then they would find out later that person wasn't even home at that time.
Full body chills.
Yeah, and that little creepy thing taking on various shapes, that's so, and for some reason, that really, I've had the goosebumps for so long now, because what it makes it creepier that it doesn't look exactly like the person.
Right.
Like that it's like a poor imitation.
Uh-huh. And I like how
that's a really good one.
I like the way that Zach calls out the detail of like, you know, my sister would have gotten her hair cut, but then the doppelganger like, wouldn't.
Yeah.
Or like the clothes were just like, you know, clothes she had outgrown.
Mm-hmm. Like it was delayed.
Uh-huh. I just imagine, and then when he talks about the spacing, like I imagine the eyes being like too far apart, the mouth being too big.
God, that is creepy.
It is fucking creepy. That one's going to linger with you. I had a hard time sleeping last night.
I mean, just imagine if you saw me, but not me.
Oh, God. I know.
What the fuck?
I know. And I've been staying up so late recently just because of some work stuff. And like after this story last night, I almost didn't come to bed because I was like, fuck. It was 2 a.m. and I knew I needed to go to sleep. But also, I was so scared. Like, what if I got into bed
then
and you rolled over?
But it's not me.
And like, what if,
oh, my God.
What if like your beard you're growing back was gone? What if it was back to just mustache? Like something very obvious.
And my eyes were the wrong color.
Mm-hmm. Or they were just like a little too far apart or a little too close together. I mean, I've been staring at your face for over 8 years. It's like I know what your face looks like.
Right. Majestic. If I had to pick a word.
Okay. So do you want to move on?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, let's go on to the next.
Nothing but love here. Nothing but love. Okay, well, so also, like, I feel, you know, I kind of said this before, but each of these stories feels like something we've heard before with a little twist, you know?
Yeah.
The attachment, you know, kind of a weird situation. The shape-shifting doppelganger.
Uh-huh.
This is a sleep paralysis story. And I know, I understand that there is scientific proof about why this happens. That it's like this weird in-between when you're sleeping, blah, blah, blah. But this story makes me question either if this person is either not experiencing sleep paralysis and this is something entirely different,
yeah,
or if we don't know as much as we think we know about sleep paralysis.
Okay.
Okay. So they really presented a lot of questions for me. And I think that you've mentioned before that you had like one sleep paralysis incident. Have we talked about that before?
Yeah,
like it was like very brief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe it might have been a few, but yes. I've had several like really quick, but never with like a shadow entity.
Yeah.
Never that, but just that wanting to move and not being able to.
Right.
Like being trapped in between like wake and sleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you think you would do if you had an episode?
I saw something.
I could see like the deflation in your face.
Oh, that would really suck.
That would really fuck you up.
I mean, even that I've like, you know, studied like the sleep paralysis, you know, stuff, looked into studies and I'm familiar with, you know,
why
it happens, a certain part of your brain that they've like, you know, stimulated during experiments to specifically create the sensation of seeing a shadow entity, you know, near the person.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
So they'll have like a little electrodes, whatever. They'll stimulate this one part of the brain. And then later when they talk to the person, they'll report, you know, seeing a shadow entity like hovering right around them.
Right.
So they've done a lot of that. All that being said,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't care. If it happened to me, I'd be like, don't care about the studies. What the fuck?
Well, this is going to give you a big what the fuck, okay. I think. Hello. I just wanted to say I appreciate what both of you are doing. Time Suck hooked me to Dan's angelic, perfectly enunciated, informative episodes.
No sarcasm there.
And Lindsay brings a whole new refreshing dynamic to the mix while keeping the Suckmaster in check.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. This might be a little bit long as I try to piece everything together in my head and bring it to words. The story is very personal for me, and I've not told anyone this story in such detail. I have always lacked the courage. Hearing all of the my stories has brought me to reach out. I don't feel so alone.
Cool.
You know? Also, please forgive grammatical errors. Don't worry, I fix them. I guess I start my story as a child between the ages of 7 and 9 when I lived in my grandmother's house. It was a 3-story house and to this day still gives me the chills when I think about it. My bedroom was on the main level connected to the dining room. I had a big wooden door, and outside the door to the right was the kitchen that had a very dark doorway that led to a very narrow stone staircase to the basement. The basement was very, very dark. Half the floor was cracked and the cement was broken, showing dirt from the ground underneath. It was overall very dark, dirty, damp, and cold. Basically, in itself, was food for nightmares for any child. I remember my first encounter with sleep paralysis. I remember opening my eyes and seeing the big wooden door cracked open, revealing the darkness from the rest of the house. I remember how scared I was because I could not move any part of my body, but I could feel something. I could feel something staring at me. I could feel actual eyes looking at me, and I knew that it came from the darkness. I fought and fought and moved my hand, and as soon as I did, I snapped out of it and was completely awake. I laid there crying until I fell back asleep, sadly, but that was only the beginning. A few nights later, as I was sleeping, I woke up to sleep paralysis again, but this time I darted my eyes around in a panic and I saw it. My wooden door was completely open and standing in the doorway was a man. He was tall and slender and he was wearing a long coat. He had kind of a short top hat, if that makes any sense. He had no eyes, only black holes. His outstretched long arm very slowly extended a finger that pointed at the direction of the kitchen, which led to the basement. I woke up screaming and ran through the house like I was being chased by the devil into my mom's room where I slept in her bed. The next day, my sister told me she had had a bad dream about the basement before I had run through the house screaming. She said she was standing at the top of the stairs, looking down the steps, and she heard the sounds of children laughing and saw a jump rope flailing around and slapping the walls on the floor in a very chaotic, violent fashion. After that, I didn't see him again or anything for quite some time. I suffered through years of sleep paralysis before the next big event. I was 16 and was living with a friend. I had shit parents and been on my own since I was 14. I was sleeping when sleep paralysis kicked in. As I laid there helpless and vulnerable, I felt someone lean over my bed. I felt them. I felt the way the air changes a little when someone moves into your bubble. I felt a face come down close to mine. I was too scared to open my eyes, and then I heard it whisper my name, Paul, in my ear. I felt the wind from the pee as if someone's lips were close. It was so clear. I woke up in a panic and freaking out. My roommate got up, turned on the lights, and he was freaked out for his own reasons. I was telling him what happened, and he said, Dude, before you started freaking out like a maniac, I woke up, but I couldn't move. All I could see in the darkness were a pair of eyes.
Duh.
Eyes calling to me, like it wanted me to give up. It said its name was Lilith, and as I was just about to give in, you started yelling. We decided to never bring this up again because, I mean, come on, this is crazy. Fast forward to my late 20s. My sleep paralysis went on and off, but nothing too drastic, until it became physical. I started waking up to scratches on my shoulders, as if someone took a small safety pin and scratched 3 claw-like marks into each shoulder. I laughed them off because I obviously did that somehow, right? This went on and off for months, until one night I woke up to sleep paralysis, and my eyes darted to the corner of the bed, and I saw this face, his hatless, old, bitter face. It was at the side of my bed, and it was screaming at me in a very guttural voice. I couldn't make out the words, but they felt so wrong. The hate in those words was very clear. I finally broke and opened up to a friend about it, and she gave me a little medallion she had gotten from Bolivia. I wore it on a silver necklace, and after that, everything seemed to stop. No more sleep paralysis, no more scratches, nothing. This lasted for days. It was peace. One morning, before I jumped in the shower, I looked at the medallion and thought, I'm crazy. This mumbo jumbo is dumb. And I took it off. I jumped in the shower, like normal, but when I got out and dried off, I noticed 3 little pinprick scratches on each shoulder. I wore the necklace every day for months and months, until one morning, I woke up to sleep paralysis again. This time, in my one-bedroom shitty apartment, and something felt like it had come over me again. Something was watching me. I fought and fought to wake up. Nothing worked until I heard the fluttering of wings. I woke up to see a crow in my room, perched on the window. I yelled like a 12-year-old girl and got the courage to get out of bed and fight this thing to get it out of my apartment. I grabbed towels and a broom, opened my door, and swatted and motioned with the broom for it to get out. After about 20 minutes, it flew out and was gone. I looked through my apartment and found no possible way for that bird to get in. Windows all had screens and they were all closed. As I was picking up from that, I noticed the necklace I had been wearing for over a year was laying in the corner of my room. The chain had been broken. Later that evening, I got a text from my upstairs neighbor that there was a dead bird outside of my door. Sure enough, the crow came back and it was dead, lying in front of my apartment door. I'm not sure what any of this means. I know I have left things out because this is long enough as it is, but it feels good to get it out in some sense, I suppose. As I started working up the courage to write in after I heard that first episode, my sleep paralysis came back, and last Friday, I woke up to the scratches once again on each shoulder. Thank you both again for doing what you do. Look forward to all the stories in the coming decade. Paul.
Paul, man, that is terrifying.
Right?
If you're waking up to, like, physical scratches. And I kept trying to think, it's like, you know, I'm just, don't quote me, I guess, on this, because I'm just pulling it from memory, but I feel like 3 scratches comes up a lot in, like, demonic oppression type, you know, tales.
Okay.
Sometimes possession, I don't know why, but there is that, like, the claw marks, the scratching, the 3, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That comes up a fair amount. And then early on, that the first time he saw the apparition with the hat pointing, it's interesting that the tales of the Hat Man cross different cultures.
Yeah.
And, you know, span different, you know, as far as span pretty good length of time. We don't know how far they go back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so weird. I was just, my mind kept drifting during that story to, like, God, what if? Because you can go two routes with that. You can do like, well, you know, people keep seeing the same dude with the hat because one person saw it and it inspired the imagination of the next person, domino effect, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Or, again, going back to what we were saying earlier about there could be a variety of different entities out there. What if this fucking thing is – there's this weird thing out there that does have a hat for whatever reason. Who cares?
Right.
And a dark shape. Oh, man. And then just the scratches then also made me think of multiple reportings. I would – I would be seeing a priest or somebody. if I was Paul.
Yeah, Paul, I hope that you're getting help for this because I think that it is more than sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I would want to go talk to somebody who deals with the paranormal space because why not?
Right.
If you're already experiencing some type of physical manifestation or believe that you are, what do you have to lose at that point? So I would say don't be a Darren.
Don't be a Darren.
And wait. Go talk to somebody. Do some research.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to
The dead bird kind of freaked me out. The dead bird really got me because
the crow.
It could have been any bird. It doesn't even matter to me that it was a crow. I mean, it is particularly spoopy that it was a crow.
Yeah, it is a creepy
but
bird.
I have lived in apartments, many apartments, and when I think about like the apartment that we lived in, there is no way for a bird to get in.
Right. I don't think so.
I mean, we had a fireplace, but it was an electric fireplace.
Yeah, I don't think it accessed. I don't know. I mean, it never happened for sure.
Right. I feel like, did I have a bird in my apartment with Natasha at one point? Maybe, but it just feels like such a impossible occurrence. And then for it to get it out and then for it to be dead at your door. Because also thinking about apartments, okay, like a lot of the apartments that I lived in LA were those ones that had like the exterior staircases. But just think about the last apartment we lived in. For a bird to find its way like around the back of the building, up the stairs, down the hallway. It's not like, I just don't get the feeling the way that Paul tells this story. I don't think that he's, you know, in a two-story walk-up where there's a door that, you know, you can just access where it's like not a big deal that there's a dead bird. That freaked me out. And then the name Lilith, I don't know why. I was like, what does that mean?
Right. What is that connecting to? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like some name that comes up frequently in the paranormal. I don't know. It just stood out to me and I'm too chicken shit to look it up. Because I don't want to go down a dark hole.
It is like a demon.
I knew it.
What? Yeah. Are you being serious?
Yeah, no, it is. Because I know that there's hardcore bands like in the metal world.
Yeah.
That use it all the time.
Lilith?
Yeah, I'll look it up. One sec.
What?
I knew that the name felt weird to me.
To me, it just reads like a older lady name. Like a woman's name that's no longer popular. Maybe it's coming back now, you know, whatever. But like Gertrude. Like Gertrude hangs out with Agnes and Lilith.
Oh, I love the name Agnes.
So Lilith is a female demonic figure of Jewish folklore.
No way.
Her Told name you. And personality are thought to be derived from the class of big words I don't know. See ya.
Thanks, Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that sometimes I have sneaking suspicions about things that I'm reading where I'm like, oh, buddy, but I don't want to research it because I don't want more of that in my head. It's already enough. And I feel like I've gotten to such a good space in our show where I can handle a lot. And I don't want to ruin that. Even though I know it's fun to kind of watch me crumble.
Good stories.
Yeah, really good, right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, do you want to do some shout outs to our Annabelle?
I do. I want to thank everybody for the reviews and ratings lately. I peep on to the ratings boards.
How are we doing?
We're doing good.
People still like us?
People seem to still like us. Makes me feel like we're on a good track. So that's very nice.
You know what I was excited about, actually, before you do your shout outs, is all three of these stories are from 2019 because we just have thousands of stories. I mean, it's so hard to like comb through them and I just really pick at random.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so lucky. But I, you know, because we made the book earlier this year, and I know that we're going to be doing next year, when I am going to put your show on the I email right away as opposed to last year, right? We did it backwards. And it's like, hey, your story is going to be shared, blah, blah. But now with these people, I'm like, hey, are you still listening? Is it okay if we put this in the book? And all of these people are like, hey, still listening, still here. I'm
nice.
Like, oh, yes. Thank you.
We're doing our best to keep your attention.
We appreciate your loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So some Annabelle shout-outs. Thank you for being Annabelle's and supporting the show on Patreon. We have Evan Williams, Lacey Van Campen, Andrew, no last name given, Brianna Cooper, Sally, Annie, and Aaron Ravanos, Sherry Sirik, S-I-E-R-I-G-K. That seems Southeastern Europe to me.
I thought it was Sergit.
Sergit. Okay. Sherry. I feel confident with Sherry.
Sherry.
Tana Smith and Jenna Pritchett, Julie Ann Christine, and Jessica Martin. Thank you all.
I would like to thank the Annabelles, Teresa Toth, David Embleton, Alex Willis, Robert Darnell Partridge, good name, Trevor Gordon, Lucas Ely, Karen, E. George Mohawk III.
Nice.
Patricia McCoskey and Sarah Booker. And then I have, of course, have some spoopy shout-outs.
Cool.
Okay. A little bit of love to mom / Jamie from your daughter, JD. A little love to Nick from Alana. Love and happy last New Year's Eve before you get married to Jesse from Renee. Happy New Year's to Cooper and Casey Kelly from your mom, Tara. And sending love literally across the world to Jorge from Jess. He's in Utah while she is working in Kenya.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they use Scared to Death as something that they bond over, like something to share across the miles.
I saw there was some family here in Coeur d'Alene that does work over in Kenya, and there was like on the local paper. It was Yeah, when I was getting coffee one morning.
Like mission work?
I think some missionary work.
I mean, I assumed that it was mission. I mean, not to be presumptuous, but between Utah and Kenya, I figured it was mission work.
Yeah. I mean, probably a good guess. I really want to go there one of these days.
Yeah, let's do it.
Kenya's on my list of many countries I want to go to. So that's all for today.
That's it.
Thank you for continuing to send in your personal tales of terror to mystory@scaredtodeathpodcast.com. You can email us for everything else at info@scaredtodeathpodcast.com. Thanks to Logan and Logan Keith on social media, badmagicmerch.com for the design. Email store@badmagicproductions.com for customer service. Thanks to producer Sophie Evans for story curation, Joe Paisley for producing and directing today, Zach Cohen for the custom sound beds, and Heather Rylander for organizing the My Story emails. You can subscribe to Bad Magic Productions on YouTube, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram if you want more content, @ScaredToDeathPodcasts. And we have a private Facebook group that is growing, Creeps and Peepers, over 11,000 members.
Eek. Wow.
Yeah, moving towards 12.
That's awesome, you guys. That's so cool.
Thanks to Liz Hernandez for moderating. And if you want monthly bonus episodes, merch discount, monthly horror movie club, and don't want to hear ads, check out our Patreon. Enjoy your nightmares, creeps, and peepers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And hope you were scared to death.
If spirits threaten me in this place, fight water by water and fire by fire. Banish their souls into nothingness and remove their powers until the last trace. Let these evil beings flee through time and space. Evil may pass through, but has no home here within, scared to death.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What are the things that weigh you down on a day-to-day basis? What kind of stress are you holding on to? Do you spend much of your day going over things in your brain over and over until they are so distracting it affects your mental health? Well, don't worry. You're not alone.
We all carry different stressors, some big, some small. When we keep things bottled up, the results can be negative. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest without fear or judgment. It's a place to work through what is heavy on your mind and heart so that you can feel lighter and happier.
I'm always holding on to something. It's the way my anxious brain works. I'm continually worried that I've done something wrong, that I've hurt the feelings of someone I love, and that I have let someone down. I'm stressed that I'm not being a good enough mom or wife. I panic that our life will implode at any given moment and it'll all be my fault. Thankfully, I have an amazing therapist who helps me talk through each of these scenarios. After each and every appointment, I feel lighter, happier, and more capable of showing up as my most authentic self.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/scaredtodeath today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/scaredtodeath.